Next case.
Case number 12962, Michelle Kinsey seeks variances from the front and corner front yard setback requirements for proposed additions. Sections 115-25 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located south of Lincoln Drive and west of Tyler Avenue within the Cape Windsor subdivision. The 911 address is 38827 Lincoln Avenue in Selbyville. The zoning district is AR1. The tax parcel is District 533, map 20.14, parcel 32. And I believe this application was left open for some...
Yeah, it was left open because there was a question about the location of an easement and staff. The board had asked me to look into that. I will note that at the prior hearing, Mr. Williams, I believe you recused yourself, and I believe Mr. Hastings, you were not here. Mr. Hastings, have you had a chance to review the record on this one?
I have not.
So we will just have Dr. Carson, Mr. Warfel, and Mr. Corman vote on this one. What we have, I engaged our title searcher to look into this, and we did look into the easement area, and I did not see a specific utility easement that I believe was referenced in the testimony. There is a Delmarva Power blanket easement for the community, but it's not specific as to where on this property that would be. There's a sewer easement to Sussex County. It's 20 feet wide on Lincoln Drive. Again, not on the property, but it does have a 5-foot construction easement, which terminated when the sewer was installed. Given that the easement was from the 1970s, I think that construction easement has likely since terminated. There were some other easements which we found that appear to reference Edgewater Acres. It has a reference to the plot book. I'm not sure that those are going to be applicable to our property as they came about after some transfers of the title. I will note that there is a restrictive covenant that goes back in the community, and it has a curious history. It goes back many, predates our zoning ordinance, and it says that no improvement or mobile home or structure of any kind shall be placed within 5 feet of the side yard or 10 feet of the street or within 15 feet of the bulkhead, nor shall any dock or structure be extended more than 15 feet beyond the bulkhead. And that appears, based on its face, that it would be enforceable by anyone in the development. There's some differing numbers when you go back through the chain on this. Some of the numbers have changed over time, but that's the one that we found most recent. So it does appear that there's some restrictive covenants. Now, of course, the board does not enforce restrictive covenants. That would be something for perhaps neighbors or the Court of Chancery to look at if there was an issue there. But I did want to point out that that's what we found. We just were unable to find a specific. I think there was a reference to like a 5-foot utility easement, and we didn't see anything specific to this property. I will also note, as just to also clarify the record, that these are for the front and corner front yard for some proposed additions. There is an unpermitted deck that was in the side yard. That one was not advertised for, so that is not part of this application, nor should it be part of the board's consideration. There was some discussion or testimony about that. We're not here to determine anything as it pertains to the deck.
So we have three additions? Is that what we're talking about here?
It sounds right, Mr.
I have one other question for you, Mr. Sharp. You asked about parking. Am I correct there's a requirement for 2 off-street parking spots? Or what's the code on that?
I'd have to look at it, but that sounds right. I think that where they had indicated they were going to park, if these structures were built, was going to be on the west side of the property, and they felt they could fit 2 vehicles there.
Okay. Right.
I haven't done the measurements to see if
I did. I was looking... Like a code compliant parking spot is 9 by 18. It's square footage, it's not the area, but 9 by 18 is the correct square footage, and you're not gonna get 2 9 by 18 parking spots there. That's why I was looking at that today. I know we don't normally get into the weeds with parking spots on a residential structure, but it kind of got relevant here.
Well, certainly, there's testimony about that and questions about that, so it does appear to be relevant in this case.
So how would you like to do this?
Well, it's up to the three of you how you would like to vote on it.
There's only three of us. I'd suggest maybe we go one by one through the three of them and vote on each one and see where we land. Just my thought.
You're going to have to help me out here, Mr. Sharp, with each addition then.
Yeah, I'm trying to, I remember the applicant had an artful reference, I think, of A, B, and C, and I'm just trying to find out which one is which. So if the proposed variance is, there we go.
A was the sunroom, B was the porch, C was a master bathroom.
And C is the one that needs, so if you look at A, that one needed a variance from Lincoln Drive.
And what was the name of that one?
A. So if you look up here, Mr. Corman, A, it kind of goes down.
Yeah.
So west to east. So that one was the variances for the sunroom and the addition there, and there's steps that come out as well. Then B is for a porch. My recollection is there's no steps that are needed from that one. The entrance is from elsewhere. But that one would have needed a variance from Lincoln Drive. And then the front addition had both a front and corner front setback requirement because, as you can see, the frontage is that narrow strip there, and then the corner front is Lincoln Drive.
And that was for the master bath?
Yeah, I believe that's what that one was for.
Any other questions? Any other discussion? Mr. Sharp?
I don't have any more comments on it. I mean, you could break it down by each one, or if you had a motion for all of them, you could do that too. I'm not sure if there needs to be a difference on all of them or not. That's certainly up to you all.
I'll entertain a motion any way you guys want to do it. If you want to do it A, B, C, or it's up to you all.
Well, I would like to see on A, on this sunroom storage addition, I would like to see code compliant parking spots. So I would like to see us have a condition that they come back with a site plan showing that they have their code compliant parking spots. If we're going to approve this. In my opinion, clearly this is a unique lot. We've heard variances requests on this lot many times before. They're certainly entitled to some kind of relief.
Well, I will close the record. Is that the proper? And I'll entertain
a
motion.
You could close the record first, and then we can discuss.
And I'll entertain a motion on the sunroom slash steps, which would be letter A.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the variance requests for the sunroom storage addition that they labeled A. This is case number 12962 for Michelle Kinsley, pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. Property is unique due to its unusual shape. Due to such circumstances, there's no possibility the property can be developed in strict conformity. The variance is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. The exceptional practical difficulty was not created by the applicant. The variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. The variance represents the minimum necessary to afford relief. And the condition is that they need to submit to us a site plan showing two code-compliant parking spots on the westernmost side of that parcel, which may mean that they have to make their addition smaller, but I want to make it conditional on seeing those two parking spots and having that submitted to planning and zoning.
Is it does it have to be on the west side of the property or just two code compliant parking spaces on the property, Mr. Warfel?
It needs to be on the western side. That's where the testimony was, and according to the survey, that's where it's going to need to be. So I want to see it on the westernmost side.
So if I second, we can have conversation?
Well, yeah.
Because I'll second the motion.
Okay.
So if C is not approved, could there be two parking spots there?
My motion is only dealing with A.
I understand.
So the condition of the parking spots, it will be for A regardless of what we do with B and C.
We have a motion and a second.
Are you still cool seconding it, or?
Second stands.
Okay, all right.
Dr. Carson?
Nay.
Mr. Warfel?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I vote nay. So the vote of?
2-1.
2-1. The motion fails for sunroom and steps. Okay.
Dr. Carson, would you like to make a motion on that?
I can't get behind that one. Mr. Fiera, sir, you all can leave if you would like.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Either direction.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve item B, if I'm saying this correctly, for the requested variance. 4B, I believe the property is unique, and that the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood and is the minimum variance necessary to afford relief.
Just for B. Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Warfel?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for my reasons.
And I too. So the vote of 3-0, the porch item B is approved.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I move regarding item C that the request for variance be denied. I believe the exceptional practical difficulty is being created by the applicant.
I'm thinking about it. I mean, my opinion, clearly they're asking for too much. I don't know whether we should give them something, but clearly they're asking too much.
Is perhaps appropriate then to say that, Dr. Carson, that part of your reason is that it's not the minimum variance to afford relief?
That's correct.
Okay. All right, second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Warfel?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Dr. Carson?
Aye for my reasons.
And I too. So the vote of 3-0, item C is denied.
And because we had a vote and it had a condition on A, we should probably have some formal vote as to the disposition of A without a condition. I don't know. We didn't really get into the reasons on that one, so we should probably have some formal motion.
So if we have a clean vote on A, does that then that our rule about three votes, does that go ahead and kick in on that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean, if we only had two board members that are in favor, it would fail for that reason.
Correct. Okay. So I'll make my same motion again on A, but without the conditions of the parking spots.
Just say, tell me what that is, make sure I'm clear.
My motion is to approve what they requested on A with no conditions on the parking spots. And if we vote 2-1 again, then the rule kicks in. It is what it is. We didn't have three votes. Unless Dr. Carson has a different suggestion.
No to the second.
Are you giving me a second so we can vote on it?
I'm not, well, take, yes, second.
Okay, all right.
Motion and a second to approve item A without any conditions. Dr. Carson?
Nay.
Mr. Werfel?
Aye.
And I vote nay. So the vote of 1-2, item A with no conditions is denied.
And Dr. Carson, Mr. Corman, just because have some clarity as to the reasons that went from the written findings.
It's created by the applicant.
Agreed.
All right. Very good. Thank you.